The Adventures of Uncle Jimmy, a Warner Brothers radio production starring William Farnham. Original story and direction by Edward Lynn. To attend Florence, he found her in a state of momentary collapse. He decided, however, that everything that could be done for her was being done, and that rest and good nursing would bring her around more quickly than any medicine. He was delighted to find that Edith Arden was in charge of the case, even under such unusual circumstances. As we resume our story, the patient is asleep, and Edith and Rosalind are talking in the living room.
Want to tiptoe in and see how Florence is?
No, I think I'll leave well enough alone. The door to her room is open just a crack. And when I'm on a case, my ear's always out on a stick.
Father Stewart said he'd have the money for you.
Money for what?
For nursing Florence.
Now, isn't that a lot of nonsense? Say, what do you people think? I am a stranger to the family or something like that?
I know, Edith. But nursing is your profession.
And being a friend is a divine command. And years ago, I decided to heed its call. So, let's not talk about it again.
All right. You're sweet and friend. Edith, do you really think Johnny will call at 8 o'clock tonight?
Of course he will. Good heavens, don't you think he's just as anxious to come home as he is for his mother to turn over a new leaf? And this time she'd better. I don't think Johnny would fool. That little fellow usually means business.
He's going to make a wonderful man. He has such tremendous talent.
Mm-hmm. Talent also for being a mischief maker.
Yes, I know. But that's all part of the business of being a growing youngster.
I wonder what Bobby was like when he was his... I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't mind if we talk about Bobby. It's a perfectly natural thing to do. Mother Stewart says Bobby was more handsome, a great jollier, kidded his family and friends and teachers, and loved a good time. And he was a great believer in his own personality. But he was sweet and loving. He's very much the same now.
I wonder if we change much, basically. Sometimes I think, of course, this is just one woman's opinion again, that we are what we are. It's all there from the time we're born. Of course, environment is a factor.
That we each of us have a star and we follow it?
Well, yes, along those lines. But I believe we each of us have a star, and it makes us follow it. Bobby, as you can see, is Bobby. And he'll stay that way. You take him as he is and love him and make excuses for him.
Or do what I did, love him and make excuses for him for a while and then stop loving him because there were no more excuses to be made?
Yes.
Put yourself in my place. Knowing Bobby as you do now, what would you have done?
Rosalind, the cards were stacked against you. The situation of Mrs. Stewart, your neck injury and, well, it remaining stiff.
You can say my neck is deformed.
Well, whatever it was. That and then losing your baby. You see, if all those things hadn't happened...
Bobby wouldn't have been unfaithful?
Oh, I don't know. Each man reacts differently to each woman. You see, with that type of man, Bobby's type, I mean, I believe you'd have to play a game. One day mad, One day glad. Keep him guessing. Oh, I hear my patient. Excuse me, dear.
Well, well. Now, how's Florence, Rosalind?
I think just about the same at the moment. She'll be all right, though.
My, how I wish it were 8 o'clock.
So do I. Edith says there's no doubt in her mind that Johnny won't call.
Funny how he talked about running away, and we all sort of laughed about it. Thought we'd kid him out of it.
Oh, Uncle Jimmy. Mrs. Stewart wants to see you alone.
Me? Alone?
Mm-hmm.
Goodness. Well, looks like Uncle Jimmy is going to really hold a lovely young hand after all. I've quite a delightful bedside manner. Haven't I, Rosalind?
Quite, Uncle Jimmy.
Well, the hand will be young and lovely. But you'll find it just a little limp and quite apathetic.
Well, girl, I'll be back very shortly.
What in the world would we do without him?
I've been thinking the same thing myself. He's sort of a rock of Gibraltar.
I don't remember either of my parents, but I look to Mrs. Jedson as a mother and to Uncle Jimmy as a father.
How about Father Stewart? Where does he come in?
Oh, big brother. I'm so fond of him. And I love Florence, too. I love all the Stewarts, Johnny and Dorothy.
And Bobby.
Bobby. I did once. But love is a funny thing. When it's dead...
Rosalind, don't fool yourself. Love never dies. It goes to sleep, like the trees in winter. The snow falls, the ground is frozen. But when spring comes along...
Yes, I thought that too before I went to Reno.
Reno? Oh, that's just part of the picture I drew for you of winter. Just wait till spring comes again in your life.
I suppose it will, Edith. Like it comes to everyone. But Bobby will be in the life of another woman. And it will be spring for both of them.
Arnold.
Yes, Florrie?
Arnold.
I said yes, Florrie.
Well, I didn't hear you. Do you think Johnny will call at 8 o'clock tonight?
Yeah, he certainly will unless the telephone lines go out of commission and power's cut off.
Has there been a storm?
Oh, that's just a figure of speech, dear. Or maybe it was a little humor.
Oh. Well, I don't see that there's anything funny about our boy being lost.
He's not lost now, Florrie.
Well, he isn't home.
He will come home, dear.
Oh, my, I'm so weak.
That's perfectly natural. Doctor said so.
Arnold.
Yes, dear.
Don't be so annoyed with...
Annoyed with you, dear.
Arnold, does Miss Arden have to be my nurse?
Why, isn't she competent?
Oh, yes, of course, but under the circumstances...
Florrie, those circumstances just don't exist anymore. We've other trouble.
Oh, you're right, Arnold. Oh, Johnny. Oh, what if he shouldn't ever phone us? We can't locate him.
Sounds like Mrs. Jedson knocking. I... Don't suppose you want her to sit in the room with you.
Well, I don't like it. But if she's here, it's because she's sorry that she's been one of those people who made me sick.
Well, have it that way if you want to, Florrie, but keep such ideas to yourself. Come in.
I'll fix a little something that I thought might tempt your appetite, Mrs. Stewart.
Oh, no. I haven't a bit of an appetite.
Oh, I figured that you hadn't. But I knew this would sort of coax it. Look.
Oh, I can't lift my head. What is it, Arnold?
Well, let me see. It looks like chicken and lamb and a tiny dumpling, and it has some crust.
Top crust?
Oh, and it smells good enough for me to be the patient just so I could get some of it.
None of this is for you, Mrs. Stewart.
Oh.
Now, I've just made this dish especially for you, Mrs. Stewart. Now, I'll get you propped up and feed you some.
Well, I guess I'll vamoose then.
Just me, Uncle Jimmy. Just putting my head in to say hello.
Hey, I heard you had quite a session in here this morning holding my wife's hand.
Mm-hmm. And it worked so well, here I am back to do it again.
Oh, you're a homebreaker-upper. That's what you are, Uncle Jimmy. You're a homebreaker-upper.
Now, maybe you want to feed this to Mrs. Stewart, Uncle Jimmy. I got her all propped up.
Why, I'd just love to.
I hope you enjoy it, Mrs. Stewart. And now, don't be afraid to eat all of it. It's well cooked and light, and it won't hurt you a bit.
Well, I won't eat but a mouthful or two. I haven't a bit of an appetite.
I'll look in on you again.
My. But this looks good. Smells good, too. Now, how about a mouthful of it, eh?
All right.
Here we go.
How does it taste?
Well, everything tastes about the same when you're so weak. You haven't much appetite.
Here, another mouthful, eh?
Oh, I should do something to get stronger, I suppose. You know, all I had this morning was some gruel, toast, a poached egg, and a glass of milk. Mm. For lunch, a malted milk and a dish of pudding.
Hmm, my, that's hardly enough to keep a hummingbird alive. Why don't you take the dish and the spoon? There's not more than a tiny plateful of this stuff anyhow in the casserole. Now, it's going to be difficult to get up the willpower to get this down, but... Oh, come on now, please try. Yep. Hmm?
It is good. Oh, Uncle Jimmy, there's enough there to...
Nonsense, nonsense. Why, hardly enough dinner there to keep a hummingbird alive. Mm-hmm. You just eat it all, and then I'll fix you a nice glass of milk, and then you go to sleep.
Oh, I lay awake all night thinking about Johnny. Hmm.
Well, before you doze a little, Miss Arden will fix you up a nice malted milk.
Mm. My, this is good.
Of course it is.
I'm so weak I can hardly hold a spoon.
Daddy! Rosalind! Uncle Jimmy! The phone! It's Johnny!
Johnny on the phone. Oh, quick, Uncle Jimmy. Help me into my robe.
You're too weak, Florence.
Well, I may not be able to make it, but I'm his mother. I've got to get out of this bed.
Well, here's your robe, then. I'll turn my back.
There, now. I'm in it. Now, help me to the door.
Easy. Take it easy, dear. Take it easy.
Oh, my Johnny on the phone. Wait, everybody. Tell him his mother's coming. Wait.
Sorry, dear. Now, you just be
careful. I'll hold the receiver.
There. Well, Florence, say hello.
I don't know if I could even find my voice.
Well, say something, Mummy, quick.
Oh, Mother's precious. Mother's darling. Are you all right, dear?
I'm okay, Mom. Mom, I've got to ask you some very important questions.
Yes.
Now, Mom, are you going to make up with Edith and Mrs. Jetson and Bobby and Rosalind and never get mad at them again and be a good mommy?
No, precious. Why, Mommy? Mommy!
Oh,
at the crucial moment, she would go out like a light. Let me help you.
Hello. Hello, Johnny. Johnny, your mummy fainted, but she'll be all right. Now, you better come home, son.
I can't, Uncle Jimmy, until I have mommy's word for it that she's not going to make any more trouble. I'll call again tomorrow night.
Here, Uncle Jimmy, give me that phone.
Yeah, operator. Operator, trace that call, please. It's an emergency.
One moment, please.
She's all right now. Let's get her back to bed.
Help me, Edith. Put your arm around her throat.
Yes. Operator. What was the number? Oh, yes, I see. Thank you.
Did you get the number, Uncle Jimmy? Where Johnny was talking from?
Too bad. She couldn't trace the call.
Where in the world could Johnny be? Isn't it too bad the operator couldn't trace the call? And Florence. Will she ever forgive Mrs. Jedson, Edith, and Bobby?